This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
It's always weird that the one series in the championship series is done with two games before the other one even gets started. Someone at work asked me about that yesterday, and I said, well, I know, but it's a getaway day for the Mets and Dodgers.
Correct.
They need to fly across the country after the game, so it makes more sense for them to play early, and you stagger the games out, and now the Yankees and Guardians will catch up today on the off day, and they'll both be at two games apiece as we head into Wednesday. So yesterday's 108 start, Dodgers and Mets, and the Dodgers brought in that 33-inning playoff record-tying scoreless streak. All they needed was one more to set the all-time record by themselves. Didn't get past one batter. They went with the bullpen day, just like they did against the Padres with Ryan Brazier starting. Different story, though, when Francisco Lindor takes the first at-bat of the game and hits the home run, ends the streak. It definitely felt like a weight was maybe lifted off the Mets' back, and the Dodgers all of a sudden remembered, all right, it's not going to probably be quite as easy as it's felt the last few days and not giving up any runs at all for three-plus games, 33 innings. And that changed things a lot, I thought, yesterday.
I think it did, too. And it was an unbelievable AB from Francisco Lindor up there battling, fighting off tough pitches, and finally got one down the middle of the plate, turned on it, yacked it out of there, 1-0. So, that was definitely necessary. And I thought, you know, I told you this, my little theory here before the show started, Benny. One sec. All right.
Do that taste like cayenne or fish oil?
It's finally up. Everything's finally gone. Now that was just a normal cough. You know, every manager in the postseason, I like to call it a playoff balloon. They've got a balloon, and they can keep blowing into the balloon. And if you keep blowing into the balloon, eventually it's going to pop. And with every breath you expend into the balloon, that's a risky move that you make. Just, okay, I'm gonna go with this guy for one more inning. I'm going to try to squeeze one more out of him. And eventually, unless you win the World Series, unless you're Bruce friggin' Bochy, whose balloon's the size of the sphere in Las Vegas,
his own head,
you know, they eventually pop. And I thought Dave put some breaths into the balloon yesterday, big time. And going with Landon Knack, who, I mean, when you say, I know nothing, okay, on the grand scheme of things about baseball, but when you watch Landon Knack hang slider after slider after slider after, Amy, oh my God, every pitch he threw, Benny, was a frisbee. And it was all down the middle, and Vientos just kept fouling pitches away. Could not get the head of the bat onto one of those hangers. So then, after the last hanger, Vientos goes, I'm not going to continue to miss these. Throws a fastball, Vientos hits it out, grand slam. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, here we go. Now we're off and running. But then you see what the Dodgers are made of, man. What they have the ability to do is battle back, fight back, scratch and claw. Max Muncy hits a home run, and it gives them a little bit of life. You see the depleted Mets bullpen, and you're wondering, how are they going to manage to get three more wins against this Dodgers team who, Dave did not really show many of his cards yesterday, and I actually thought he kind of made a mistake late when he went to Enriquez to try to get one more inning out of him and ended up giving up a really big insurance run. And instead of now, you know, three runs down, you're four runs down. So I thought, you know, look, at the end of the day, the top of the order for the Dodgers was Ofer. All of them were, nobody got a hit. So that's going to hurt you every single game, doesn't matter how you pitch.
So I'm still trying to figure out your entire balloon blowing analogy here. In my mind, Dave Roberts managed the game yesterday a little more casually. It wasn't an elimination game.
He didn't use
Landon Knack against the Padres because he didn't trust Landon Knack against the Padres. With their season on the line in an elimination game, Landon Knack did not see the field. But when they're up 1-0 and they're at home and you've got a little house money to play with, he thought, let's stay away from all of our high-leverage guys early, like it worked perfectly against the Padres, and see if we can steal one here with maybe not our best guys. Now, it backfired, and they ended up behind 6-0. I doubt they will do that again, but they took a shot at it, you know, trying to set themselves up for the rest of the series.
So
even though they lost.
And I'm not saying he did anything necessarily
but
wrong.
The Mets, you know, they keep going to Edwin Diaz, one plus inning. That, to me, is blowing into the balloon. And the Mets had to. They didn't want to go behind 2-0. But they
So blowing into the balloon is a risk, because every time you blow, it could pop. Going with your best guys is never a risk, in my opinion.
I think it is when you overuse your best guys in the playoffs over and over again. Eventually, those guys are going to pop. When you go to the same relievers over and over and over again, they are going to give up runs eventually. Yes, they're your best guys for a reason, but you also can't use them indiscriminately throughout the postseason.
No, you can't. I'm not saying indiscriminately, but what are you telling your offense then? If it's 1-0, you do have some faith in Landon Knack, right? You have to use him if you're Dave Roberts. He's on the roster for a reason.
They didn't use him against the Padres.
I know, but in this series, 7-game series, you have to, in my opinion. You have to use him. That's what he's there for. It's 1-0. You know, it's 1-0. Brazier gave up, one run, right? So then you go with Knack. Then the game gets a little bit out of hand, and you still had a chance. You still had the tying run on deck, I think, at the end of the game. You didn't go to your higher leverage guys when you might should have tried to take a 2-0 lead on a team that's only scored now one run in 10 innings. So I don't know. It was a risk, but he did not show any of his hand. He did not have to use Kopech. He didn't use Trinan. He didn't use... Who are the other guys that they got? The big high leverage
Hudson.
Guys. Hudson. Yeah, did he pitch? No, he didn't pitch. No, he did.
He did pitch. He did pitch.
But your really high leverage guys you did not use. You did not really stay in the game there, even though you did have a chance to win at the end. I didn't think it was a huge mistake at all. He going with Brent Honeywell, by the way, who pitched really well in his postseason debut, putting him out there for one more inning was a it could backfire on you. They lost the game.
They lost. If I'm a Dodgers fan, I'm probably trying to paint it a little bit as a moral victory. At least you forced the Mets' higher leverage relievers into the game. You had the tying run, go-ahead run at the plate. Mets tried to give it away, kicking it around on defense.
Oh, my God, did they ever.
And without a big double play there to end the inning. What was that, the sixth inning or whatever it was? Dodgers could have absolutely come back and stolen that game. They put stress on the Mets. They didn't make it easy. But ultimately, the Mets did what they wanted to do in the first two games, just like the Padres did at Dodger Stadium. They got their split, and now they're going home with home field advantage.
Question for you. If Brazier throws a scoreless first, is the plan the same for Dave Roberts?
So.
Do you?
I do. I can't imagine that one solo home run change the entire plan of the game.
Okay.
I mean, if it was 4-0, then maybe you stay away from were going to go with your higher leverage guys early like he did against the Padres, maybe you change the plan, but you wouldn't change the plan at 1-0.
It's definitely an interesting way to manage. It's fun to watch how these guys use and deploy the guys that they have in their dugout. And he's got a really fresh bullpen with a Walker Buehler start. He may need it. He may need it in New York. He will need it in New York. There's no question about it. It was a really interesting game how it played out, and going with guys for an extra inning here or there, ended up costing him one insurance run. Now again, the top of the order going 0-19 is you're not going to win many games if you're the Dodgers.
Need a contestant for Take on Woods, 833-288-0973. You want to call in, and we've got another concert prize for you, Orville Peck at the Calco's Credit Union Open Air Theater on October 26th. If you want to take on Woods, 833-288-0973. A couple more thoughts from this game. We can talk about the Yankees and Guardians a little bit later. Sean Manaea continues to be outstanding. 5 innings, 2 hits, did give up the 3 runs, 2 earned, but that slight drop down that he's incorporated this year, just going at a lower arm angle. He's been a different pitcher for the Mets.
He made Shohei look foolish, man, on one swing. Holy cow.
Tanner Scott and Sean Manaea now, the kryptonite for Shohei Ohtani. I also thought it was funny. I mean, not that we haven't seen it with the Padres and Jurickson and Profar, but did you see Mark Vientos?
Yeah.
And took it personal.
The Michael Jordan, baby.
That they intentionally walked Francisco Lindor, In an obvious intentional walk, Sitchin in third, open base at first. Lindor, who's been red hot, had homered in the first inning. He's up again in the second inning. You don't face Francisco Lindor again there.
No.
You just don't. So you obviously walk him to get to Mark Vientos, who had a really great at-bat and ended it with the grand slam. But he took it personal.
I can't say I was overly disappointed to see Kike Hernandez leave 17 runners on base yesterday in some really, really big situations. So that gave me a little bit of joy.
It just feels like if it was so easy, if everyone just took baseball more personal,
right,
they'd all be MVP.
Correct.
All you have to do is take it personal. And all of a sudden, what is usually a very hard game becomes as easy as pie.
There's something to that, though.
Just take it personal.
There is something to it. There's something to it. Pitchers are good at it. You know, hitters, it's hard. It's a fine line between wanting to be really relaxed and not do too much and also being very pissed off when you're up there. I think there's a fine line to it. But I loved it. I thought it was, you know, it was a really good game, man. And again, if you're a Dodger fan, you can't hang your head too much because you had a chance there in the ninth inning. And the Mets and their defense was just horrific. Horrific yesterday. They got to clean that up if they want any chance. And, you know, you're seeing these guys come out of the bullpen. You're like, oh, my God, Phil Maton. They asked him, former Padre great Phil Maton. They said, so what was that like navigating all that traffic? He goes, it was stressful.
I mean, you give the Dodgers extra outs, they're going to almost every time.
I feel like
the Padres, what, made the one mistake. Manny had the one bad throw in the series, turned into an extra run.
You
give the Dodgers an error, they're going to capitalize on it.
Damn near every time, yep.
All right, we got some contestants on the line. Let's do it. Let's play Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
All right, we're going to go with Ray today. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Ray, good morning to you.
Morning, guys.
Morning. Sounds like AJ Preller. Morning, guys. Morning, guys. I like that. All right. Here's how the game works, Ray. Five questions of musical trivia. You go first. Woods, who is now in isolation, goes second. If you can beat or tie him, we will hook you up with our prize this week. Tickets to Orville Peck at the Calco's Credit Union Open Air Theater on Saturday, October 26th. I asked Woodsy about Orville Peck yesterday off the air. He said, oh, really? Interesting, interesting artist. And he was like he would go see him. So limited tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com. You get to pick our category, Ray. Here are your choices. On the chessboard, five musical questions having to do with chess. Stairway to Heaven. Those are song titles that include the word heaven. And what? This again. Five more song titles that include the word what. So on the chessboard, Stairway to Heaven or what? This again. Ray, what would you like to play?
I'll try the what's again.
What? This again. Yes, I have five more song titles. I think this is the third time that include the word what in the title, except this time none of them are the first word. We'll have 60 seconds. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question's the two-second song. Polly's queuing it up now. You need to identify the title and the artist to score that point. And remember, all the titles include the word what somewhere in them. Ray, are you ready to play?
I'll try my best.
All right, good luck. 60 seconds on the clock. Polly's got her song queued up. The category, what? This again. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Ray. Let's take on Woods.
Pass.
Scottish DJ Calvin Harris had his biggest hit when he teamed up with Rihanna for which 2016 song written by Taylor Swift using the Swedish pseudonym Nils Sjöberg.
What is love?
Incorrect. The first line of which 1978 hit by the Cars is, I don't mind you coming here and wasting all my time.
Pass.
All right, the biggest hit from their only album in 1998, which New Radicals song begins with a count in? One, two, one, two, three, oh.
Pass.
All right, gold jewelry shining so bright and strawberry champagne on ice are just two of the luxurious items listed by Bruno Mars in which 2017 hit. Ah, we got an O for today. See, I tried to mix it up, Paul. You got some newer music, you got some older music. Sometimes people complain that I don't do anything.
You did a good job with the variety, but like yesterday, it's still a tough category.
Tough category, for sure. So, Ray, we'll see. I doubt that'll hold up, but we'll see. All right, Woods is back.
How are you feeling?
Good.
Yeah.
All right, this is a tough one today.
All right.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Ray.
For What It's Worth by Buffalo Springfield.
Correct. Scottish DJ Calvin Harris had his biggest hit when he teamed up with Rihanna for which 2016 song written by Taylor Swift using the Swedish pseudonym Nils Sjoberg?
Sweaty Tank.
Incorrect. The first line of which 1978 hit by The Cars is I Don't Mind You Coming Here and Wasting All My Time.
Just What I Needed.
Correct. The biggest hit from their only album in 1998, which New Radicals song begins with a count in 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, oh.
You only get what you give.
Correct. Gold jewelry shining so bright and strawberry champagne on ice are just two of the luxurious items listed by Bruno Mars in which 2017 hit.
Taint's alive.
Well, you got your new stuff. You got your old stuff. You couldn't get the new stuff.
Shocker.
But three is good enough to win today against Ray. That was another what category. For What It's Worth.
Okay.
This Is What You Came For is the Rihanna Calvin Harris. You have. Just What I Needed, You Get What You Give, and That's What I Like by Bruno Mars. So, congratulations, Woods. You are victorious today.
Thank you. How do you do?
He didn't get any.
Oh.
It was a tough category.
All right.
All right. We'll give away the Orville Peck tickets maybe a little bit later in the
Orville
program.
Orville Peck.
To
interesting.
Someone else.
Interesting guy,
he was an interesting artist.
Interesting artist. Very interesting.
He wears a mask.
He does. It's cool. It's
like Daft Punk or something?
Kind of. It's more like a Lone Ranger mask.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's cool. He's got a really interesting vibe and sound.
Now, do you remember, Ben, you rapped the lyrics to that Bruno Mars song, Question Number 5.
Oh, he did?
That's what I like. Ass invited, so go on and get to clapping. So pop it for a player, pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a player. Drop it for me. I'll rent a beach house in Miami. Ammy. Wake up with no jammies. Nope. Lobster tail for dinner. Julio, serve that scampi. Julio, you've got it if you want it. Got it if you want it. Said, you got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in the Cadillac, girl. Let's put some miles on it. Anything you want, just put a smile on it. You deserve it, baby. You deserve it all, and I'm going to give it to you.
Fantastic. The scampi. Julio, make the scampi.
The scampi.
I like a good scampi.
Scampi is like maybe a once a year type
treat.
Scene.
It's a treat.
Yeah. It's just, hey, I'm going to slather this in massive amounts of butter.
Not just slather. I'm going to submerge it in butter is what we're going to do.
Shrimp. It's butter shrimp soup. It's basically stew is what it is. Butter shrimp stew.
Gold jewelry shining so bright. Strawberry champagne on ice. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like.
There it is. So good.
I do like a lot of things, including scampi.
It's so good, dude.
All right, we'll come back with Don't Do This.
Oh, dude. You know what's funny? Not funny. Saw this pop up yesterday. Actually used it as a parental lesson last night, putting my six-year-old to bed. A Baltimore Ravens fan whose life is forever changed. Forever changed. After some really, really poor decisions.
A more simple parental lesson would be, don't do what Mike Gundy, the coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, did this week as well. We'll get to both of those coming up next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan after Kelly's traffic.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Woods, how's the expression go? You mess with the bull, you get the horns.
Yeah, mess with the bull, you get the horns. I tell my kids that all the time.
That's where we start. Don't do this today. I'm actually impressed. Mike Gundy, very famous for his press conference from over a decade ago now. I'm a man.
I'm 40.
I'm 40.
Yep.
He's now over 50, I believe. stuck around that long.
A decade, yeah.
He's stuck around that long as head coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys. But he's taken his mascot very seriously. Didn't realize. So Mike Gundy did his normal weekly, you know, news conference after, I believe, another loss. I think he lost like three in a row for Oklahoma State. But instead of showing up on campus like they normally do, reporters and ask questions, they did it on Zoom with the camera off, which was kind of odd. And Mike Gundy explained why he was not joining reporters in person or even on video yesterday.
Well, I had a little run-in with my cattle over the weekend.
Cattle.
And I guess they've been watching us play and got headbutted. So I've got a bad eye that I didn't think would be particularly enjoyable for people when they were looking at my pretty face in a live interview. But more importantly, it's full of blood and I get dizzy, and so it's not easy to be upright and be in a normal function. But other than that, I'm doing great.
All right. Well, here's the most simple don't do this ever. Don't stick your head in your cattle's face to get headbutted. Yeah, he's got a full ranch, apparently,
yeah,
that he maintains. It is for sale, Woods, if you're interested.
I'm not interested.
$8 million for the Gundy Ranch.
Not even a little bit.
He said now that the kids are out of the house, it's becoming harder to maintain. He's 57 now.
57? That was 17 years ago.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40! I'm not a kid! Write something about me.
All right. Yeah, another injury I can promise you I'll never have. I will never, ever get headbutted by cattle.
I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter.
So good. So good. Yeah, this one, this story here, the next one, is just insane. And like I said, I used it as a little parental guidance last night. You guys have probably seen the story of the Baltimore Ravens fan walking through the streets and looking for Washington Commanders fans to beat up. And that's exactly what he did. He had his buddy filming it, because that's what this generation does, commits crimes and puts it on the internet for some dumb reason.
It's wild.
You know how many crimes I broke?
Is it still a crime when you beat up a fan, an opposing fan?
Yes, it's always a crime. Yes, okay. Yes, it is. And you know how many laws I broke? I don't film them. Be like, hey, watch this. I'm about to go buy this from this guy in the alley. Like, no, you don't do that. But look, I'm glad he did, because this guy is really in for it. So it shows him walking up, and his buddy behind him kind of egging him on. Where's the stragglers? Where's the stragglers? Oh, we got a couple of stragglers. Walks up to two Commanders fans and just whack. Right hook.
Puts kick, one to sleep.
Puts one to sleep, throws the next guy down. Then the more disturbing part is he looks dead into the camera, he does the flex, and he says, I never lose. Or I don't lose, is what he said. I showed this to my son last night, and I go, we always talk about bad decisions, right? The two paths that you can go. I said, this guy yesterday morning, he woke up and he went to a football game with his buddies on a Sunday. Woke up, put his clothes on, went to a football game with his buddies. Now he's going to do...
Probably didn't wake up looking for a fight.
Correct. Yeah, his team did win. And probably didn't wake up looking for a fight. But he went to a football game with his buddies. Now he's staring down the barrel of probably 8 to 10 years in prison for assault. You know, aggravated assault. And somebody saw the picture because, you know, he put it on the internet. They go, oh, I know that. That's Jack Callis. I know that guy. I know exactly where he's from. I know what his LinkedIn is. I know what his Instagram is. I know where he works. His employer was contacted yesterday, fired immediately. We do not tolerate this, out. So he's out of a job. Now the cops are coming looking for Jack Callis. Jack Callis is going to prison. It's right here on video.
Not exactly the crime of the century.
No, it was not the crime of the century. And this, I mean, and so I told Bo last night, I said, look at this, man. Think about that for a second. He woke up. He went to a football game with his buddies, and now he's looking down the barrel of 8 to 10 years in prison for a dumb, stupid decision that he put on camera, that he had a guy filming. Hey, film me real quick. Let's go beat the crap out of, you know, strangers that don't know it's coming. You know, fights happen. Fights are one thing. This was not a fight. This is walking up to two guys in a different uniform and slugging them for no reason. Like Paulie said, he knocked this guy. He could have killed this guy. I mean, big right hook to this dude's face, and he went out like a light. So think it through, man. It's not that. It's sports. We all have fun, you know, breaking balls and everything, but, like, it ain't that serious. Holy smokes.
I know it sounds like an old man take, like, kids, you don't have to film everything, but, like, you really don't.
You really don't, and I'm glad they
I've
did
seen
in this
so
case.
Many of these.
It's
like,
insane, man.
That one was terrible. I saw another one, this streamer. I don't know who he is. I don't remember his name. Jack something?
Jack Harlow. Not Jack Harlow. Jack Doherty.
Yes.
I saw it, too. We
driving
his car.
Ferrari
his
or
McLaren
something.
Or something.
Yeah. And his buddy's sitting in the front seat filming him drive while he's literally on the phone texting, clearly, right?
Streaming,
there,
yeah.
While he's driving. And
pouring
goes,
rain.
Oh, crap. Oh, crap. And then he wrecks his car. His buddy is bleeding from the head.
Yeah.
And he goes, he starts handing out other cameras to his buddies. And he's like, can you get this angle? Can you get this angle? Hang on. I know you're bleeding from your eyes. Can you just hold this? Hold it like this? Like, they're just trying to get the shot, the right angle. And I'm like,
it's a really, really,
what are we doing?
It's a really cool world we're living in right now. But yeah, Jack Callis, not your best day, buddy.
Finally, a little doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
How about a doo-doo this for this guy over
Me?
Here? Stephen Woods.
What did I do?
I'd say a tweet of the year candidate yesterday. If you're watching the Dodgers-Mets game, what was it, around the sixth inning or so,
yep.
That Brent Honeywell, former Padre, was walking off the mound. And as he took the first step down into the dugout, he points down and sees a snake slithering. I think it's like a garden snake that was slithering in the Dodgers dugout. Obviously, cameras caught it. And
somebody picked it up with a towel.
One of the staffers, I don't think it was one of the players, grabbed it with a Gatorade towel and removed it from the dugout. But that led this guy over here to tweet, a snake in the dugout, you don't say, with a picture of the manager of the Dodgers.
Yep. Well, listen, Robert. It's the skin how, fits, man.
How quickly did that come to you?
Very. Very. I was on the phone with Paulie, and I go, I gotta go. There's a snake in the dugout. I got a tweet to fire off right now.
He started workshopping it with me.
Actually. I did. I workshopped a couple with Paulie. I go, I don't know. I'll call you back. Paulie got to see it in real time.
And that's Don't and Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I don't think
don't
it was a venomous
snakes
snake.
Like rats?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a weird sign. It's a weird omen. If there was a cockroach in there, we went on a nice run.
We would never take an animal that's normally loathed by people and try to
make
turn it into a
something special.
Couldn't be us.
Somebody was laughing.
No chance that we would do that.
One of the Mets said yes. Some of the Mets fans were like, "Bro, if that was us, we would have taken that thing. We would have had a terrarium built. It would be traveling with us." Like, the Dodgers guys got rid of it. That's what the Mets do. They turn everything into a bit.
MBK23 says, look like a gopher snake. I don't really know my
I don't either. I just know snakes. I don't like them. I don't like any of them. So, you want to get me? Scare me with a snake?
JH619, did it harm Dave Roberts' life?
Did Manny Machado put
it's unsettling,
it in there?
For sure.
It was very unsettling. Very creepy.
It was intent.
Very creepy, man. It's really tiny, but still, that's way too big.
All right, speaking of managers, when we come back, how are the Padres going to handle their own manager this offseason? Mike Schilt going into the already final year of the two-year contract he signed. And what about his top lieutenant, the pitching coach extraordinaire Ruben Niebla, free agent to be? We'll talk about the Padres coaching staff and where they stand heading into the offseason. Coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Baseball can be such an unpredictable game sometimes.
Sometimes.
Except when it's not. I thought game one of the ALCS went pretty much like I would have expected game one of the ALCS to go after the Guardians had that hard-fought five-game series and had to go to New York and face a Carlos Rodon. And, you know, the Yankees got one of their big guys. It was Juan Soto, not Aaron Judge, but got a home run from one of those guys. And then Stanton, I believe, homered later in the game, wasn't it? Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect formula right there for a Yankees victory, and they did get the 5-2 win last night to take a 1-0 series lead in the ALCS. But that's a winning formula for the New York Yankees, that if they do that three more times, they will be playing in the World Series.
It is it's pretty nuts. When you're watching that game last night, Rodon looked pretty good. He had gotten roasted by the New York media, Benny, for his over-exuberance after his last start. And he started really well, and then they started to hit him and knocked him out. And they said, you got to control your emotions better. So he said, all right, I'm going to do that. And you could tell, man, he had a big K to end the first, and he was like, and he just put his head down and walked off the mound. I mean, it was a focal point.
Did he say like he
him.
Was channeling his inner Garrett Cole?
Yeah.
He was trying to like, okay, I'm going to bring my Garrett Cole
correct
sense of self to this game.
And ended up pitching really well yesterday. But what the unfortunate part was, if you're a Guardians fan, Joey Cantillo comes in, throws four wild pitches, Rick Ankiel style.
Wait, okay, so Joey Cantillo.
Remember him?
Yes, that was a while ago. Who did the Padres trade Joey Cantillo for?
Wasn't he in the Naylor trade?
Was he in that? I think you might be right. So that would make sense. He was part of that deal.
Traded by the Padres with Austin Hedges, Gabriel Arias, Owen Miller, Josh Naylor, hardly know her, and Cal Quantrill to the Cleveland Indians for Greg Allen, Mike Clevenger, and a player to be named later, which was Matt Waldron. So he's part of the Matt Waldron.
So we also saw Phil Maton pitching for the Mets. You tweeted about this. Pedro Avila.
Yep. Did pitch great.
Brett Honeywell.
Tim Hill pitched.
And Sean Manaea. All pitched yesterday in the playoffs.
Yeah.
All recent members of the San Diego Padres organization.
Pretty nuts, man, to see.
But, so the Yankees have a one-game-to-none lead. Game two is tonight. It's a 4:38 start again, I believe, on TBS. And it's Tanner Bibee for the Guardians and Garrett Cole for game two at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah,
so.
The Yankees, too, man. They got on base a ton. They were horrible with runners in scoring position. But, you know, two wild pitches that lead to runs certainly helps in a playoff game. That
who
just
is
can't
that
happen.
Kid with the Guardians who just could not... Was it the Guardians guy kept throwing the wild
Cantillo.
Pitches? Yeah,
yeah, it was Joey Cantillo
who threw the wild pitches. Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty unsettling to see, man. Juan Soto hits a bomb. Giancarlo hits a bomb. Aaron Judge's postseason is something that needs to be studied in a lab.
If I'm a Yankees fan, though, that's almost like reason for optimism.
Correct.
Like, here
he's
we are
doing nothing
in the ALCS, up 1-0, and we haven't gotten a thing from Judge yet.
Hit the ball hard. You know, he got robbed a couple times. But it's just. It's just nuts. It's nuts to see. So, their hope is if somebody decides to be real careful with Juan Soto, right, in the two hole, that Aaron Judge will eventually find it, you know, and they put Juan Soto on. Juan Soto had, he had a two strike hit off of one of their lefty relievers. It might have been Cantillo. I can't remember, but it was unbelievable. You're like, okay, yeah, I remember that. I remember good Juan. You know, when Juan was decided to be really good, so elite, and does so much damage in the zone.
So is it? I'm trying to think of this. So the Yankees and Dodgers have now played a combined 12 postseason games, and Ohtani and Judge have homered
once
between the two of them.
Yeah,
over 100
two MVPs.
In the regular season, and they have managed to combine for the one on Shohei's very first at bat in the first game.
Yeah,
and that's it. Neither of them have gone deep since.
It's a weird one too, because they keep showing the stats of Shohei's numbers with runners on base, and it's staggering. Still, it's 13 out of 16 or something. If you're Dave Roberts, Ben, do you move him down and say, well, you're 0-20 with nobody on. You are 13 for 16 with runners on.
And you finally tried to steal a base and you got thrown out.
Wouldn't it behoove you? I don't want to give Dave Roberts any more tips. He already listened to my Kike Hernandez tip and ended up winning the game. But wouldn't it behoove you to maybe move him to the two?
They did move Freddie Freeman down to the four hole against a left-hander. And with the fact that Freddie is pretty much a cement block on the base paths right now with his ankle. It seemed like it made sense for them to move Teoscar up and Freddie down in the order a little bit, and they weren't afraid to make that change. You know, Mike Schilt was very consistent with his lineups. Dodgers showing a little flexibility. Didn't work for him yesterday, but I don't think that was the reason. So, that's the update on the American League Championship Series. Want to talk about Mike Schilt's contract status and Ruben Niebla as well, who needs a new contract. We'll do that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So I was wondering, what do you think an MLB pitching coach makes? Like, what would you say is the average salary for a Major League Baseball pitching coach like Ruben Niebla?
$500,000.
Because this surprised me. And I don't know that I believe it. But the according to the Google AI overview, the average salary for a Major League Baseball pitching coach is $78,000 per year.
That's way off.
With a total pay range of between $58,000 and $107,000 at the top range.
Get out of it. It can't be right. It can't be right.
I was surprised.
No way. All that money in Major League Baseball, a guy that valuable working with your, you know, hey, you can't win without good pitching.
Now, most teams don't release the salary information.
That can't be right.
I don't know.
Are those stats from 1956?
I have no idea. That seems really low.
That's way low. There's no way.
That seems really low for me. Whatever Ruben Niebla has been making doesn't feel like it's been enough for the San Diego Padres.
If he's making $80,000 and there's even a question about bringing him back, stop questioning it. Okay? How about this? Give him 160.
We're going to give you a 7% bump, and let's go for that.
There's no chance.
The way supply and demand in baseball tends to work, I would think that Ruben Niebla might be a hot commodity.
You think
for
so?
Teams that are interested in pitching coaches, which would drive, I think, salary offers up. And if you are, I don't know, does he have an agent? I assume he has some sort of agent.
Of course.
They would be able to negotiate a pretty good deal. And whatever it is, I would think the Padres should pay that man his money as pitching coach of the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, I'm looking at this same thing you're looking at. I am literally speechless.
I was really stunned.
I'm speechless. There's no way. There's
I mean,
no
are
way.
The benefits good or something? Good dental or what's going on
here? Well,
you
get to, you know, you travel a lot and stuff, but I'm looking at it. I got nothing. I'm speechless. My guess was 500 grand.
Well, you do overpay for most things.
I do overpay for most things, but does 500 grand seem like an overpay for Ruben Niebla? Because it doesn't for me. I got nothing. I do know. I got a buddy that is in the Astros organization. I ran into him when we were playing the Astros, and my man works for free, essentially. Like, he works for free.
People want to be in the baseball business, and they take a lot less to do that than other industries. But when you think about the value a good pitching coach can bring,
dude,
and if you can just squeeze, you know, extra strikeouts, if you can, like, help a guy lower his ERA by 0.5, How many wins above replacement? I mean, that is really valuable if you can squeeze better performance out of a pitching staff.
Think about the worst player on any roster. The worst player on the minimum makes $660K, gets 2 ABs a week, catches a couple innings here and there. I'm not talking about anyone in particular. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's staggering. And you do way less work, I would imagine, than the pitching coach actually does. Way, 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 way. Yeah, you go get your grounders and you swing it and you everything else, but you're not playing much. That is bananas to me, man.
So managers do make more, but reportedly Mike Schilt on his 2-year deal is making in the lower third of what managers in Major League Baseball make.
And he deserves a raise.
He wanted to get back into obviously managing, and now he's in a much better spot. He signed a 2-year deal. Great first season. The Padres go to the playoffs, win 93 games, second most in franchise history. Is this something that you need to immediately address if you're A.J. Preller and work on a contract extension with Mike Schilt?
Yes. Yes. The organizational stability, that is something that we haven't really had. We didn't have it under Bob Melvin. I thought we would for a long time. And, boy, that did not work out. And it does seem, I don't know what's gone on behind the scenes. We've talked to Schilt enough this year to know that he's a good manager and the players really like him and respond to him. And I think he's the right guy for the job. So why mess with it? You know, just like his lineups, man.
Are you worried that if you didn't sign him, that he would be a hot commodity next year on the open market? Because that's really what drives salary and contracts. More than whether you like a guy or you think he's doing a good job.
I think it could be both.
Are you worried that you would lose him if you waited on Mike Schilt and he has another really good season? Because if he doesn't have a great season next year and you sign him to a 3 or 4 year extension, guess what? You just saddled yourself with an extension for a manager who had one good year. Guess what you did? Bob Melvin had one good year. And then what happened in the next year? Now you're working, they're trying to figure out a way to get out from that deal. And, you know, the San Francisco Giants swooped in and gave you the out. But are you sure you want to lock up managers, you know, for the long term? And this is nothing against Mike Schilt, you know, personally. This is simply the economics of baseball and how it works. Is this where you want to go? I mean, I'm not saying, I think consistency and stability is something the Padres need.
Badly.
They've shown it at the top with A.J. Preller. They can show it with Mike Schilt now and say, this is your team. We're going to run this organization your way and AJ's way. They seem to get along well, which is important. It's something that you haven't seen, you know, recently. Bud Black just got another 1 year deal.
I mean,
he's Walter Alston, like, you know, just string a 1 year deal. Say, hey, I'll take one more year. And if we do well, I'll take one more year after that.
Yeah. And if we don't,
you can do that.
If they don't do well, they'll still take one more year.
Probably. Yeah. Well, that's what the Rockies have done. And, you know, you don't see Bud Black stomping and moaning that, hey, I can't manage a team on a 1 year deal. I won't have the respect of the clubhouse. You have the respect of the clubhouse if you're a respectable person.
Correct.
You know, you talked about the Art Howe quote from Moneyball, like, hey, I'm like a player. I can't manage this team on a 1 year deal. As Billy Beane says, you can.
Sure you can.
You absolutely can.
Yeah.
They will respect you if you're a respectable person.
Yeah.
And I think Mike Schilt is a respectable person, especially among those players in that clubhouse.
I can't fathom the thought of another message coming out in January, February. I can't. I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm sure Manny doesn't want it. I'm sure Toddy doesn't want it. I'm sure all these guys that love him, they don't want it. So I think you got to lock him up. I'm not saying you got to give him a 10-year deal, but 3 years? Hell yeah, let's go.
We will come back, still stunned at the average salary for pitching coaches in Major League Baseball.
Like, ruined my day a little bit.
It's Ben and Woods and Paul on 97.3 The Fan.